Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 107.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. I have to ask for everyone's forgiveness today because I'm a little bit unwell. So if I sound a little bit husky and a little bit sexier than usual, it's because I'm packing a very light cold at the moment. So yeah, if I sound a bit weird, that's why. We're going to kick off the episode as we always do with a lovely review. We got some beautiful reviews this week from one of the review subscription things that we subscribe to. I love how much information I have about those things. So this one comes from LJane218. I found you ladies last year, and since then you've been an absolute inspiration for me getting my shit together. Your conversations are informative, but still heaps easy to listen to. Perfect for me whilst I'm traveling. I love that you cover a wide range of issues from all angles, as well as adding your personal perspectives and experiences. Keep on keeping on. Much love.
So, did you include that review because it's from L. Jane and we'd like to think it's Lorna Jane?
That would actually be so cool. Like, imagine if, like, the Lorna Jane was just like, hey, guys.
Love your show.
Love your podcast. It's great.
Helping me get my shit together.
That'd be awesome. It's just like, I'm such an unmotivated person. And
okay, so it's probably not from Lorna Jane. Okay, fair enough. Do you have a random thing this week, Carl? I'm thrown because like there's nothing.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say, like, so okay, people are gonna find it a bit weird. So when we recorded episode 105, and that's the one where Carly surprised me and told me she was pregnant. So here's what was going on in my mind at the time, because I was actually just sitting here, like my mouth was just opening and closing, but nothing was coming out, which makes
sense. Yeah, she left me hanging. I said it and I was just like, why are you not using words, Kelly? Like, say things.
Well, one of the things was, it was your random thing of the week, and you go, I've got three random things of the week. And I was looking at our notes going, she's got but there's only two things written here. Like, so when you were saying you were pregnant, I was still in the, but you've only written two things and now you're saying there's a third thing. Oh!
That's so funny. But also Kelly told me when we stopped recording that she thought I was joking and was like, that's a really bad joke, Carly. Like, I don't know how to, but is it real as well? And like,
I was like, are you joking? And then because this is everything that was going on in my brain, I was like, did she just say she's pregnant? Is she joking? Carly, that's not funny. You don't joke about being pregnant. Hang on a second.
No, I'm aware
you about being pregnant. So she must
never
be pregnant.
Joke about being pregnant. I actually just don't think that's a funny joke.
No.
Like, it's so weird because it comes up on, you know how you get those weird meme things on Facebook about April Fools, and there's always this reminder that pops up that says, don't pretend you're pregnant. It's not a funny joke. And I understand that, you know, that's a really awful thing to joke about, like, particularly because, you know, women with fertility issues and that kind of thing. But then also it's just not funny.
No.
Like, why would you joke about that? That's not clever or funny. Anyway, it was very, very weird. But no, I do have a random thing this week, actually. So I'm listening to the Teacher's Pet podcast, which is very good. It's by The Australian, and it's about a woman who went missing in the 80s, and it's suspected that her husband killed her, and he's currently free at the moment, but there's all this – anyway, it's one of those true crime podcast things. And right before she went missing, she was, and I quote, holidaying in Kempsey with friends. Now, I was born in Kempsey. It's a very small town on the mid-north coast of New South Wales. I quite like Kempsey. My grandparents lived there up until a few years ago when my grandfather passed away, and now my grandmother lives on the central coast. Do people holiday in Kempsey? That just seems very odd to me, particularly because there's lots of really cute coastal towns around Kempsey. And I was just like, do people go there if they're not related to people who live there? So that was
maybe
my weird.
Did.
Yes, that was my weird musing of the week. Like, as someone who's from there, my family's from there, massive, like, long line of people who lived around there. I was just curious, has anyone ever been on a holiday to Kempsey if you didn't know anyone who lived there? And please, I'm not bagging Kempsey. I was born there. I'm from there. It's just, as not someone who's very exactly like they only funny. Got a McDonald's like 10 years ago. Like,
I was born in Trinidad and Tobago in the West Indies, and on occasion someone will I'll see someone that says they've gone on a holiday there, and I'm just like a bit the same. I'm like, of all the Caribbean islands, Trinidad, which is kind of on the mouth of the Orinoco River, I come off Venezuela. It's very close to Venezuela, and basically the Orinoco River just dumps all its silt kind of into the ocean and, you know, spreads across to Trinidad. So like, we don't have those beautiful blue oceans that most Caribbean islands have. So Trinidad's a lovely place. But you don't holiday there. And it's always weird to me when people say they do, like literally, you know, I'd send you there cause my family's there and go hang out with my family. But yes, there you go. Place I was born. Yeah. I wouldn't holiday there either. Not.
Yeah. I mean, like I'm from Canberra, and like I get people going there for a weekend cause it's cool. And it's, you know, it's the nation's capital and there's fun stuff to do. And, you know, yeah, I just found it very odd. And then I'm like texting my mum and all my aunties being like, this chick went on a holiday to Kempsey. And they're like, what? Why would you do that? Anyway, that was my random thing of the week. Recommendations of the week. Kel, what have you got for us?
Okay. I've got a really random one cause like, all my recommendations of the week are random because I kind of don't use products and stuff. Anyway, so I've been getting
– You just sounded so hippie then. I don't even use products, guys. Like that's how minimalist and of the earth I am.
Yes. So I get headaches quite frequently because basically if anything's going on in my body, like if I'm having an allergic reaction to something or if my hormones are going a bit whack or if I, you know, did a little bit too much, like went a little bit too hard in an exercise session, it manifests as a headache. So the Australian government taking codeine off the shelves of chemists is killing me. Because I haven't gone and got a script for it, and it means that there's just nothing. Like when I get a headache, and so right now I can have Panadol and Nurofen, and I can even mix them together if I want. But they do sweet FA when I have one of my headaches, and so I was getting a bit desperate the other day because I was like, I don't have time to go to the doctor. I feel a bit weird going to the doctor and going, I've got a headache. Give me codeine anyway, but I'm gonna do it. I've got an appointment next week, but I don't want to keep taking Panadol and Nurofen because they're not doing anything and I'm just killing my liver. What can I do? And then I remembered like at the shopping center by my house, there's a Shen's massage. I don't know if you have those. Do you have Shen's massage?
No, we've got like little chains and stuff of kind yeah, of like, this is what it Thai is. Something massage.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so it's one of those chain massage type places and I've like, you know what? I'm just going to go there and I'm just going to get a massage and see if it helps. And sure enough, headache gone. And I'm like,
that's so good.
My God. Cause I'm like, yes, it costs money. Like it was like $70 for a full body massage, but you can get like just a head and shoulders massage for $30. Yeah. And I was thinking the other day, is it not better to spend $30 than to destroy your liver with something that's not even helping? And you're actually totally not tackling the source of the headache anyway. So there you go. That is my random recommendation of the week. Like those little shopping center massage things that you probably walk past and go, they look a bit weird, but you know what? They're great. So use them. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I'm keen on a little massage every now and then. Like if I hurt my neck or something, yeah, I'll often pop in.
Well,
and
that's the perfect thing. Cause that's, I was getting on a plane the other day and I was like kind of flying overnight into Sydney, working the whole day in Sydney and then flying home and I couldn't. And my neck was a little bit hurting and I was like, oh, this could go anyway. And I cannot afford to have a headache all day tomorrow. So yeah, I just went in and they just did like a shoulder and neck massage and sorted. So there you go.
Love it.
Your recommendation of the week.
Mine is the Derren Brown special Miracle on Netflix. So it's a recording of his live show, his recent live show that he did around the UK. If you don't know who he is, he's a magician who specializes in mind manipulation. But the thing is that he's actually very ethical and he does shows that demonstrate how faith healers and mystics and people who claim they can talk to the dead are actually swindling people. So he's not actually very popular in the magician community because they don't like it when people give away secrets. But he does it in a very ethical way. He's also really, really funny and he's just a cool guy. So he's just really, really positive, which I obviously love. And he's essentially doing quite a negative thing by calling out con artists, but he somehow twists it around and makes it a really positive experience. So he does this whole section in it where he uses all the tricks techniques that faith healers use to faith heal people in the audience, and he actually does it.
Oh my
and
God.
It's incredible. He's such a great guy. There's another show that he did recently called The Push. I won't tell you anything about that because it will ruin it. But it's actually one of the most confronting things I've ever seen. It's he does a lot of stuff with celebrities as well, and what he can do is he will choose a thing that he wants someone to say or do, and then he will set that person up to say or do that thing, and he pretty much always succeeds. It's crazy, but he's very ethical and always makes sure that everyone has, you know, appropriate therapy and all that kind of stuff afterwards. And it's always like, it's always quite nice stuff, except for The Push. The Push was very confronting. I was affected by that for quite some time after watching it. But yeah, he's fantastic. And yeah, if you see any Darren Brown stuff, watch it because it's excellent.
Interesting. Okay, I'll keep an eye out for that. Looking out for cool things on Netflix at the moment. So on to our next segment, which is If You Were Our Best Friend. And Carly, did you pick this J name? This isn't this person's
name. I did. I picked Jewel.
That is a cool J name. Jewel says, how do you deal with people being disappointed / pissed off / unhappy with you in your professional life when you fail to live up to their expectations, especially in the case where the expectations are extremely unrealistic and, as a natural people pleaser, you have been going out of your way for ages to perform, but now it's starting to all crash down. So she gives some context. She says, I have been doing work for an external client who has been difficult from the beginning, but she's been managing it. But it's now gotten to the point where she's completely overwhelmed and seriously close to burnout. She says, in the last 24 hours, I've had to push back some boundaries, and I'm now receiving emails around how disappointed they are in her and her organization and their perceived inability to meet the criteria she told them they could deliver on. So Jewel says, I know for most overachiever obliger types, we perform to a standard that no one else would expect from us. But what do you do when someone else's expectations of you are even higher than your own and you can't meet them? She says, I know I'm feeling hurt and angry, and I'm trying to not carry the burden of all the blame on myself, but I feel like it will impact me professionally, and I really struggle at the best of times with the idea of letting people down. Help. Carly.
Okay. So this one is very difficult, and I really hate being the one to give retrospective advice, but setting very, very clear boundaries from the start of what can be achieved in your set amount of time makes such a big difference, particularly personally as a freelancer, that's crucial. So if I tell a client that I can do a 1,000-word blog post in 3.5 hours, and then the client comes to me and asks for a few quick emails, and it ends up being 5 emails of 500 words each, and that client expects me to be able to do that in 3.5 hours, I can refer to our original agreement and say that 2,500 words is going to take closer to 7 hours, you know, with research and SEO and headline testing and all of that. It's a very, very common thing that happens in a lot of workplaces, and I call it scope creep. So when bosses and clients will just add one little thing and then another thing and then another thing, and then all of a sudden you're doing 10 times more work for no extra money. So firstly, in your current situation, it's a little bit too late for that now, unless you've, it does sound like that you did have boundaries, that were set in place, because you mentioned that, there was an agreed upon amount of work that you were supposed to do for this client. So definitely bring that up, particularly if you've got that in writing. But firstly, you need to try your hardest to remove your emotions from this. It's not an attack, and it probably doesn't actually have anything to do with you. So you never know who this client or boss has to answer to and how scary they are. So a lot of the time I've found that when I deal with clients and they come at me out of nowhere and are displeased with something I did, or they don't like the work that I've done for them, it's usually because they told me to do the wrong thing and they're getting in trouble from their boss. And so they need to vent to me to blame me. But the thing is that you can't actually do anything about that, and you don't really need to do anything about that. Just very calmly and very rationally point out what it was that you were supposed to do, prove that you delivered that thing, and just be very, try not to be too blamey, because a lot of the time this stuff comes from people panicking, or whoever this boss is probably quite unhappy in his or her job at the moment as well. So just, yeah, be very rational and very calm without emotion. Come up with a practical solution. So this actually spoke to me very hard, because when people are disappointed in me, it actually wounds me to my very soul. It's just the worst thing that can happen to me. And my partner is actually really, really good at talking me off the ledge. So if you have someone who's very calm, and he always says this stuff to me, he'll say, look, she's probably having a bad day. You don't know what's going on in her workplace today. She needs to get this done. The best thing that you can do right now is to remove your personal feelings and emotions from it. And the way to get through this is to help her do whatever it is that she needs to do.
Yes. This kills me, this scenario of Jules, because, yeah, and I'm like you, Carls, I'm a dedicated people pleaser. And if a client isn't happy, like even if their expectations are unrealistic, I tend to double down and go even more above and beyond and just completely overcompensate just so that they walk away happy, because I can't, even if it's their expectations are unrealistic or whatever, I can't stand someone walking away unhappy from working with me. So I tend to, go above and beyond. And I end up, don't even care if I end up being paid the dollar an hour, but this obviously is unsustainable and not realistic and not good advice. So don't do what I do. So if the job has an end point, just get it done. And just do whatever you need to do to get it done and send them on their way. Like if they're not happy now, there's probably nothing that you can do to make them happy. So kind of make yourself happy and that feel that you've done as much as you can do. And then kind of, send them on their way, and then make a mental note for the future to set more realistic boundaries with future clients. If this particular client comes back and wants, say, another job, I would be saying to them, sure, but I can't deliver at the level I did last time, as that was unviable and unsustainable. If this job is kind of ongoing and it has no end point, you might have to fire them as a client, which is never a nice feeling. And this might also involve refunding some of the money that they have paid you. How much your refund comes back to the promises that you've made to them. So if, I kind of look at it as if you've promised the world and you've delivered an island, then that's kind of on you and you probably need to refund all their money. If you've promised them the world and you've delivered a galaxy and they want the universe, then that's on them. And I think you can kind of just, look, I've delivered on, what you've paid for. I don't have the resources to keep going with this at the I don't have the resources to deliver the level of service that you need. And then if possible, suggest someone else that they might like to work with. But yeah, ultimately this is a horrible situation. I'm actually in a situation at the moment, not the same as yours, but one where I've made promises and I haven't been able to deliver on them. It's a very rare thing for me and I'm kind of dying. So I feel your pain very keenly at the moment. Jewel.
It also sounds like this is really hurting you a lot. Like this, I don't know if we conveyed that in the actual message, but the Jewel sounds very distressed.
Yes.
And I think, Jewel needs to step away from this client. Cause I had a client for about a year that they were fine, but I was kind of micromanaged, and slowly further and further along, I kept dreading the day that I was working for them, and I'd feel a little bit sick the night before. And then it was just always like, and the day I worked for them was Fridays, and I'd always arrange to like meet up with a friend and get like blotto drunk on Fridays because I knew I'd need it because it was just awful. And then I just hung in there. And eventually they ended up kind of going, oh, look, we don't need you for a little while, blah, blah, blah. And I replaced them with another client who's just the greatest ever. My two clients at the moment are brilliant and I'm so much happier, and I should have pulled the plug a year ago.
Yeah, it's so hard. Yeah, we feel you, Jewel. We're both exactly the same as you. We set high standards for ourselves, and yeah, it's very rare for a client to set a higher standard for me than I have set for myself. So if I feel like I've let someone down, it's just a horrible, horrible feeling. But yeah, I just think you can, you have to make good at, you know, as much as you can, do whatever you can to make good. But ultimately there's a line in the sand where you've done everything that you can and it's best for you both if you move on. So, oh, sorry, good luck. So life-saving food hacks and recipes is our topic of the week, but I actually think it's more of a day on the plate kind of topic of the week.
Yeah. Well, someone was asking for like life-saving recipes and that kind of thing. And the more I thought about it, the more I think that this person was asking like, what do you eat in a day? Because when you ask your friends what they have for dinner, you're basically asking, maybe I want what you're having for dinner.
Yeah.
So I was like, I think, and also Kelly and I, like Kelly doesn't like cooking. I do like cooking, but I also eat very strictly. So I'm not a very adventurous cook because I don't eat like 80% of the food. So I think our day on a plate is unbelievably healthy and usually unbelievably strict as well.
I was going to say, and unbelievably boring.
So boring, like the same thing every day. But we did do a couple of food episodes a little while ago, and I thought it might be a good idea just to sort of update what we're eating, how we do snacks, how we do dinners and eating out and that kind of thing. I think it's just kind of helpful.
Yes, cool. So we'll kick off with breakfast, and I'm going to say that I don't really eat breakfast anymore. I used to be a real breakfast aficionado, you know, and I was very much a breakfast is the most important meal of the day kind of person, but a lot of the research and experimentation I've done over the last couple of years, I'm now – it's perfectly legit to not eat breakfast.
But you're also an athlete. So like, yes. That, I think that kind of changes everything.
That is true. Yeah. I would be interested to see now if I was trying to train hard for something, what I would have to adjust. But right now I'm kind of, I would say not half-heartedly, but I'm kind of like not strictly doing the 16-8 fast, but I try to eat between the hours of 10 and 6 each day. That said, I get up at 4:15 in the morning. So to go from 4:15 to 10 o'clock without eating anything or drinking anything of worth is a bit difficult. So I generally have a coffee around 5 o'clock, and that coffee has soy milk in it. So I guess that's technically breaking the fast, although the jury is out on that. But around 7 a.m. is when I go for a run, and I am usually quite hungry at that point. And if I haven't eaten, I feel quite lightheaded and I don't want to be passing out in the middle of my run. So I just have a handful of macadamias and that gets me through. And yeah, so I don't really eat breakfast and neither do you, Carl.
Yeah, no. Well, I've actually been having, I'm not hardcore doing the 16-8, but I'm just used to not eating after dinner and not eating early in the morning, and I don't really feel like food, so I'm not going to force it. I'm still eating high fat, low carb, but not strictly. Like when I wasn't pregnant, I was doing it to be in ketosis and to lose weight. Now I'm just doing it because it's really good for my energy levels. So I used to kind of be like, oh, you put a cup of quinoa in my salad at a restaurant, and now I just don't care. So like I'm like, that quinoa's not going to kill me. It's totally fine. So I'm just doing it because it's what feels good, not because I'm actively trying to lose weight while pregnant. So I'm still eating in that way. So breakfast for me is usually around lunchtime, and I have eggs and pan-fried vegetables and sometimes some bacon. If I'm out and about or I don't feel like cooking, I'll have Greek yogurt with 8 almonds and 8 macadamias and a sprinkle of cinnamon. I always count them because if I stop counting them, I get very loose with how many end up in my bowl. I have to just make sure that I stick to it. And that's also my favorite snack because I can have dairy again because I'm not going to have a period for a while. So I'm so excited. I've been a dairy bitch. Like, you've got no idea. Sometimes, Kelly, I'll just drink a glass of milk. I just drink it. It's amazing. I love it.
You're never going to want the baby to come out.
No. I'll have to give up my beloved yogurt. But yeah, so I generally stop eating after dinner, which is about 8. And then I'll, like, most times I won't eat again till 12 because I don't feel like it. But if I'm having a bit of a slow morning, I'll have a coffee and some yogurt and almonds at about 10.
Cool. Yeah. So at 10 is kind of when I have lunch. And and for me, that is usually kind of either leftovers from dinner the night before or – so if I don't have leftovers from dinner the night before, I will have some scrambled eggs with, I have like, you know, those little packets of frozen veggies in the fridge. And I just, I think you do the same. Like I fry up those frozen veggies and then I have, some scrambled eggs in them. So that's just a nice protein plus veggie hit. So that's kind of my go-to breakfast if there's no leftovers. And I'm going to say what I have for dinner in a sec, so I won't bore you with what my leftovers look like because it's what my dinner looks like. So, Carl, what do you have for lunch?
So for lunch, oh, my God, everyone's just going to be like, you guys are the most boring people in the world. So for lunch, I usually have either a salad with some kind of fatty, oily fish. So I'll have, you know, salmon or tinned tuna. I actually really like sardines, and I know that everyone's like, bleh, sardines, but I really like them. And also when I eat them, I can feel all the good fatty acids just doing great things to my body. They're really good. Or I'll have a piece of no-grainer toast. I don't know if anyone knows about no-grainer. They were apparently featured recently on like a current affair or a news show or whatever, but it's a low carb, it's almost no carb bread that's basically made of nuts and seeds. So I'll have like a very thin slice of that because it's incredibly calorie dense and calorie, like it's very nutritious. So you don't need a lot. And I'll have avocado and cheese on that. I'm a little bit delicate with vegetables at the moment. Like I wouldn't say it's an aversion, but if vegetables are soggy or slimy, I'm just done and I can't keep eating them. So I'm being a little bit weird about vegetables. Like I'm forcing myself to have them because, you know, obviously I don't want to get scurvy. But sometimes I'll be like, oh, no, vegetables is not a thing that's happening for me today, which sucks because I love veggies.
Pregnant body's the weirdest. It's just the stuff that they want. Like why do they want hot chips?
I know. That's a total thing. It's bizarre. It's
weird. It was all I ever wanted to eat when I guess it's the morning sickness thing, but I just – why? And I guess because morning sickness is like a hangover that goes all day. But yeah, bodies are always weird. I always think like, why doesn't my pregnant body crave vegetables? This is stupid.
Well, I'm not actually having cravings. I haven't had any at all, but for me, it's more aversion. Did I tell you my really sad one? I don't know if I said that on air last week or not.
No,
I didn't. Melted cheese.
Oh, yeah, you did. Oh, I think you did. I can't remember.
So sad. Like, that just sucks. Like, because I eat low-carb, high-fat, cheese is, like, the highlight of my day because I don't eat sugar. So it's, like, the only treat food that I have. And if it's even just slightly soft, it's, like, get it away from me.
That
I can eat cold.
So funny.
I can have cold, hard cheese, but melted cheese, I'm just, like, bleh, get it away from me, which is so sad because melted cheese is the best. But, yeah, so veggies not so much and melted cheese not so much.
Definitely no. Cool. All right. So for dinner, I love rice and I love carbs. I don't eat pasta anymore. I don't eat bread anymore, but I do love rice and I do love my roast veggies. I try not to overeat them, especially the roast. Like I could eat, you know, 4 parsnips if they were roasted and, you know, 2 giant sweet potatoes if it was roasted. It's, I don't know. That's like my lollies, those things. So I make roast veggies for dinner, but I try to keep a lid on how much of those that I eat. And I also eat. So it's generally a rice or roast veggies with a meat / chicken / fish / and then some, you know, green leafy salad-y type stuff or kind of, what did I say before? Now I've got no brain. those veggie packet things that like, you know, frozen broccoli or frozen like those kind of things. But yeah, I think I'm so caught up in how boring my diet is that I'm overthinking it. But yeah, it's just like it's a protein. So a meat, a fish or a chicken. And then it's a carbohydrate in the form of roast veggies or rice. And then it's some kind of salad-y type thing that's additional to the roast veggies if I have roast veggies. And I kind of have that for dinner and I quite often have it for lunch next day because I try to make leftovers. So, yeah.
I do have a tip for that because I've got a similar thing. Sometimes when I'm eating dinner and it's particularly delicious and I've made enough for leftovers and I just end up picking at it when I'm serving, what I do is when I serve our 2 bowls, I put it immediately into containers.
Yeah, you're smart.
For the next day. So that stops me from kind of going, oh, I'll just have like one more piece of sweet potato or I'll have, you know, just one more parsnip chip. I have to put it away or otherwise it just ends up in my face. So we do a very, very similar thing. I'm really, really into my pressure cooker this year. So we've been having lots of pressure cooked soups and stews. I do a pressure cooked butter chicken with collie rice, which is amazing. And this week, Ben and I have been sick. So I've made pressure cooked coconut chicken soup that's just full of, it's so good, Kelly. I can't even tell
that
you.
Sounds
like,
yum. Okay.
It was amazing. So someone actually linked to a recipe on Quirky. It's the coconut chicken recipe from Quirky Cooking. I adapted it with another recipe because I really like lemongrass and I wanted to put some like lemongrass stuff in it. So I mixed it with another recipe and then adapted it for my pressure cooker. So eventually I'll get the recipe out there. But in the meantime, the Quirky Cooking coconut chicken soup, and I just put a shit ton of chili in there as well. And I swear we just sat there on the couch just blowing our nose for half an hour afterwards. It was so great. I've also got a really good recipe for taco bowls, which is fantastic. They're really good for using up leftovers in the fridge. You just, you know, do some mince with some taco seasoning, a little bit of sour cream, avocado, salsa, bang, and you just kind of put that on whatever veggies you have lying around in the fridge.
Okay.
Someone remind me and I'll share. I've got a really good blog post on that that's got vegan options and vegetarian options and a few different things. So if someone reminds me, I'll pop that in the group when this goes live. We also do salmon with baked cauliflower and broccoli with pine nuts and goat's cheese. My favorite easy dinner ever is pan-fried meatballs, and you can buy just like a tray of them at pretty much any supermarket for like $6. And then I get a bag of the Mediterranean vegetables from Aldi, and we've figured out a way to defrost them in our microwave so they taste kind of more fresh grilled rather than defrosted frozen vegetables. They're so good. And then you just put in like chuck some passata in the pan, then sprinkle with cheese and then chuck it in the oven until the cheese melts. But I have to admit I haven't had that in a couple of months and I probably won't for a while. But for those of you who don't hate melted cheese, do that because it's really, really good.
Cool. Alrighty. So on to snacks. Literally the only thing I snack on are macadamias. I ate way too many macadamias.
So do we. We're addicted to them.
So expensive. And there's only one specific kind that I like. I don't know what it is, but
I know what you mean. Sometimes they can have a weird taste.
Or they're like kind of like roasted in vegetable oil and all you can taste is a vegetable oil. But the Coles brand one, maybe this should be my recommendation of the week, the Coles brand macadamia nuts, and probably, I don't know, Coles probably rips off the macadamia nut farmers or something, but they are the only ones that we like. They're just nuts and they're roasted and with salt and they're so tasty. And I eat way too much of them. And I'm trying not to, but the thing I like about them is they're nice, but they've, you know, they hit the spot. Like you can have
they
hit the spot and then you're not hungry. And I also, I snack on fruit, but again, I try not to eat too much fruit because fruit's still sugar, even though it's got all the nutrients, it's still sugar. So, but yeah, they're the only things I snack on because I cannot be bothered cutting up veggies and stuff. If someone cut up roast veggies for me and gave it to me with some hummus, I would totally snack on that, but no one in my house will do that for me.
See, Ben's exactly the same. Like he's got this weird thing where he views food preparation as kind of indulgent. So he just like – he's so weird. Like when – because we have the same thing for breakfast. We'll have like, you know, eggs and pan-fried veggies and stuff. And I'll like add some mayo and sprinkle some chili salt on mine and maybe put some sauerkraut and a little bit of mustard. And then Ben comes out and he's like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm just like – putting some extra things on my breakfast. And he's like, oh, I should totally do that. But then he just never does because it requires taking, you know, four jars out of the fridge.
I'm with Ben.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I don't even think that's particularly fancy. I'm just like putting some extra things on and Ben's like, whoa. So yeah, I think it's there's a whole thing of people who are kind of like, yeah, I don't know, this is a bit indulgent to spend too much time on this food. And I think you and Ben are definitely in that camp. I'm the same. Like I don't tend to snack a huge amount because I don't really find that I need to, but if I do, I'll have a few nuts or some yogurt if I didn't already have it for breakfast. I'm having to be really careful with my yogurt consumption at the moment. I am making up for so much lost time, guys. Yeah. Like we're buying it by those 2 liter tubs with the big handles, the Jalna one. I'm such a fiend for it. It's terrible, but I'm doing it while I can. So if I didn't have it for breakfast, I'll have a snack in the afternoon. Peanut butter on celery sticks is also amazing. That'll fill you up. No danger. boiled eggs are just awesome. We take them everywhere when we travel. I'm also partial to just a small piece of cheese. It definitely has to be cold though.
Yeah, that would hit the spot in the state. That's Ant's little, like, the kids have just gone to bed. Our snack. He had like kind of 8 macadamias or 10 macadamias with some cut up cheese on a plate, and that's his little pre-good wife snack.
yeah, that's the thing. And it's all about having a high fat snack. Like, a high fat snack will just get you through the afternoon. You have to not go anywhere near sugary carby things, or you'll just be eating. You'll have one sugary carby thing, and then you'll have another one, and then you'll have another one, and then you just like, well, I might as well give up. I'll also have a Quest bar every now and then if I'm desperate and hungry. I bloody love them so much, but I really have to keep an eye on my artificial sweetener intake. So I have maybe one of those a fortnight if I'm desperate and out and about. But I really like the s'mores flavor because it's got like these like fake chocolate chunks in it. They're so revolting, guys. I'm not actually telling you to eat them. I just really want to be honest with you, and I just really need you to know that I'm telling you the full truth about what I eat, and I do eat revolting Quest bars every now and then because they're amazing.
Cool. All right. So eating out, we eat out a lot, but we mainly eat out for breakfast and brunch because I find it really difficult to find places where, you know, when the kids eat out, it's just chips and something for the kids. And as adults, I'm basically a vegan who eats meat and eggs.
Me too.
So, you know, I don't eat wheat. I don't eat meat and eggs. I don't eat cheese, but yeah, I eat everything else. And I just find it hard to find places where they make a meal that's not stodgy chips and something, you know, that, and that's the only thing on the menu that I can eat because everything else is doused in some kind of feral sauce. So when I do find a place that serves up something I know I will want to eat for dinner, we just end up going there all the time. So there's a place near us at the moment that does this beautiful, like, satay chicken on satay sticks with this lovely peanut sauce and rice and this huge salad. And I just love it. So that's, you know, so when I find a place that makes a meal I really like, that's where we go for all our dinners. But yeah, I tend to eat like rice and something, or, you know, a really cranking salad. There's another place that does an awesome kind of roast veggie salad, and then you just add chicken to it to make it a bit more of a complete meal. But yeah, generally speaking, eating out, like, I love Thai, but Thai sauces,
so sugary.
Oh, I'll eat it and then I just feel so sick. So yeah, I end up, yeah, eating out's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. So I'm not doing a huge amount of that at the moment, but I generally order breakfast food. So, like, I'll have an omelette or bacon and eggs. If I find a cafe that does an all-day breakfast, I'm there. If I'm going somewhere fancy, I'll order a protein with some kind of vegetable. And I used to have this mentality of treating myself every time I went out, but it's just not realistic. And I'd often really regret eating too much rich food. So I just always order the healthiest thing I can. And when I say always, I actually just mean always. Like, I very, very rarely indulge. And since Ben and I quit sugar a year ago, we don't even really have desserts ever anymore.
No, we don't eat desserts. One thing I will say that sometimes I do when there's nothing on the main menu that's, you know, that's kind of light and healthy and something that I want to eat. Like, cause like you said, Carls, it's often something quite rich and then you end up eating it and you always feel crap afterwards.
Yeah.
Not because like, oh my God, I'm going to get so fat. Like, it just makes you feel crappy. Yeah. So I will order quite often the sides menu will have something like, what's it, calamari, or it'll have
like satay chicken veggies. Sticks.
Yeah, like just like some – and sometimes I just get two sides. And it's also like especially if you live in Perth, a crap load cheaper than choosing the main menu item. So, yeah, there's a little tip for eating out if the main – kind of the mains don't have anything that grab you. So, yeah, so that's that for the topic of today. And we're going to wrap up as we always do with kicked ass and kicked our ass. So I'll go first with kicked ass. There are a few things in my life or in my family's life, kind of on a macro scale that were just, you know, on work and life scale that were just completely out of control at the end of last year. And so the first half of this year has just been a massive slog trying to get on top of everything. But I will say that we, I mean Ant and myself, we have worked very well together as a team, and we have kind of finally wrestled everything under control. And I'm very proud of us. And I always reflect that the thing I love most about us is that we are a really good team. Like when we both play to our strengths and pitch in and do what we're best at, like we do some good stuff. So yeah, good on me and Anne.
I really like that one. That's really nice. I think it's really important to reflect on when things are really good, because people, you rarely take a moment to be like, things are really, really good. So that's really nice. I like that.
Yeah. So also, you know, so I'll say something just sounds a bit weird, but like my goal for Ant, because last year on a work level was just obscene. Like he was under the pump for the whole year, and I've never seen him so stressed and strung out. And it just meant like every single weekend, like all he could do was recover. Like he had no time for hobbies or anything like that. And he really loves woodworking. So my goal for this year was for him to be able to like have the energy on the weekends to go into the garage and mess around in there and do the things that he loves to do. And a couple of weeks ago, he finished off this table that he had been working on for like a year for me. And I was just like, that's goal, you know, goal accomplished.
That's awesome.
I'm so stoked that you now, like, it sounds so stupid, you know, or
isn't it? No, it doesn't sound stupid at all.
Yeah. To have time for hobbies, like we should all have time to do the thing that just like we just love tinkering or doing whatever. And I was just so pleased that he was able to do that. So yeah, that's a kicked ass.
Oh, that's really nice. I like that. My kicked ass is that Crochet Coach is doing really well, and I'm planning a specified course soon for teaching people how to make their own crochet string bags because of the plastic bag ban. And the pattern is actually already available at crochetcoach.com if you want it now. And there's like beginner lessons and stuff that will teach you how to get to the point where you can actually make the bag. But I just want to make it really obvious, the steps that you need to take to get to that. And I'm going to put together a group like class for it, because I know that there's a big demand out there for that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to putting that together.
Ooh. And then kicked our ass, and this is a bit of a weak kicked our ass, but I was struggling, other than what I already mentioned earlier in the episode, and I didn't want to dwell on that, where I've let someone down and I feel terrible. But yeah, we're off on a little family holiday tomorrow, which is awesome. But the bit that precedes getting in the car and heading off is not awesome because of all the thinking and planning and wrangling of all the stuff that we need to do. So yeah, I'm kind of like, bring on 10 o'clock tomorrow.
When you're just in the car and you drive away. I have the exact same thing, because we do epic, epic road trips.
Yes, you guys
constantly. Yeah, I've actually got a blog post on 31 excellent road trip tips if anyone wants to read it, because we're just like guns at it now. But that's the same thing, because you look at, you know, preparing all the food and packing and everything, and then you're like, oh, I just want to be in the car driving up the driveway. Just want to skip to that bit. Kicked my ass is that I've got a cold. Like, it's not really, really bad, but my nose is all blocked up and I don't like it. Like, I mean, it's fine, but it's not great. And I'm just kind of working at half mast this week, which I really hate. Like, I hate not firing on all cylinders. It's kind of my superpower. And when I'm just like, oh, yeah, it's not fun. Anyway, that just about wraps it up. So don't forget that we do have a Patreon page, which is awesome. We've had quite a few people pledge in the last couple of weeks, and I do need to figure out how to figure out which people are new and which people are just like paying their monthly thing, which I will do, I promise. But every cent helps us put together this podcast. We're getting closer and closer to our goal of $500 per month. So if you can kick us a couple of dollars a month, that would be brilliant. If you just need to go to patreon.com/straightandcurly.
And yes, and finally, jump into the Facebook group and share your thoughts about this week's show. Do share what you eat during the course of a day, because I personally would like some inspiration, because I am very boring. And anything that's quick and easy, share it with me so I can expand my repertoire. So see you in there. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.